Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. We're thankful for the opportunity to be with brothers and sisters of like-minded, like precious faith. Lord, that we can fellowship with each other and that we can worship you in truth. Lord, we ask and pray that you would be with us in this day. We pray for those that are not here, those perhaps that are sick, those, Lord, that are down in Vista, those, Lord, that perhaps just did not have a desire to come to church today. We ask and pray that you would be with them and meet them where they're at. But as we look into your word this morning, I ask and pray that first you would be with me, that you would give me the words upon my lips and the thoughts upon my heart, Lord, to speak your word in truth. And Lord, that as we hear your word, that we may apply it to our lives and that we may act out on it. Lord, that we may not only be hearers but doers of your word. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciated Brother Sam's sermon last Sunday. And one of the, he touched on a portion of scripture that is well known to all of us. And it's, it talks about one that the kids in Sunday school recite. And they go over the story of Daniel being in the fiery furnace. And this past week, it led me to go back and reread the book of Daniel. And the Lord's laid on my heart this morning, and with his help, I'd like to meditate on the second chapter of Daniel. And as I was reading this portion of scripture, more so towards the end, the Lord revealed to me to title this sermon, Selective Hearing. Selective hearing. This is something that I think us men, our wives say that we have selective hearing quite a bit. But I think we can apply this example in all our lives. I know Julie's not here. As we're getting older, she says, I can't hear. And now she's saying she can't remember. And I says, well, that's good. You can't get mad at me because really shortly after that, you'll forget. But that being said, let's look at Daniel chapter 2. Before we get into Daniel chapter 2, I'd like to talk a little bit about what happened in Daniel chapter 1 and maybe kind of bring us up to speed. We haven't maybe talked much about Daniel or had a sermon on Daniel, maybe haven't read, and just kind of to get our bearings straight with where we're at in this chapter 2. It says in the first verse of Daniel chapter 1 that in the third year, the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So Nebuchadnezzar is this king of Babylon, and he takes over Jerusalem. And as he takes over Jerusalem, he went out to his captains and told them, you know, I want you to go and I want you to gather these young men that have knowledge and wisdom, that are maybe educated. He wanted to bring in these children of Israel. He wanted these children from the kings, descendants of the nobles, good looking, no blemish. He had a model in mind, I guess, of what these people should look like. But they needed to be cunning in knowledge and understanding they needed to teach the language of the Chaldeans. And out of those group of kids were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, four Hebrew men, whom we know that their names were renamed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men were given over to the prince of the eunuchs. And it was his responsibility to make sure that these children were fed with the king's food and the wine and the best. And he wanted to prove them after 3 years. He wanted to interrogate them. He wanted to have an interview with them. He wanted to see, were they smart? What knowledge do they have? And scripture goes on and tells us that Daniel did not want to partake of the king's meat. He didn't want to defile himself. But as we read in the first chapter a little bit further, it says that God gave Daniel over to this prince to where they had a special bond, a special relationship with each other. And Daniel told the eunuch, listen, give me 10 days. I'm not going to eat the meat that you from the king or the wine. I'm going to eat, we want to eat pulse. And pulse, which is a bean, it's a lentil bean or some kind of a bean, maybe cooked different ways. He goes, give me 10 days. He goes, if our countenance is not better, then you deal with us afterwards. And the prince agreed to it. Short 10 days later goes by, and Daniel and his companions looked much better than the other kids or the other young men that were eating from the king's table, the meat and the wine. And the eunuch saw that and said, okay, we're going to change your diet. And as I was reading that, I kind of thought, well, here, eating steaks and some really good steak and potatoes to go into beans, I don't know if I'd be really happy about that. But in any event, their diet was changed. Three years go by, and now the king is interrogating and proving these men, and they see Daniel, and they see the countenance that he had, and as he spoke with them, he says, the king communed with them. Among all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So here we have a group of men that were wiser and smarter and more intelligent than the magicians and astrologers that this king had. Now 3 years go by. The king has a dream, and we're going into the second chapter. Kind of interesting, if you read that portion, which time is not going to allow us to read that, it says that the king was, his spirit was troubled, and the sleep break from him. So he had this dream, and he just couldn't, it bothered him so much. So he ended up calling his magicians and astrologers and Chaldeans and says, tell me the dream. I had a dream. It's bothering me. I want you to interpret the dream for me. You're my wise men. Tell me. And the wise men say, okay, we'll tell you, but you first tell me what the dream is. King Nebuchadnezzar says, no. He says, it's gone for me. I don't remember. Because you guys are the smart ones. You're my wise men. You're my magicians. You're my Chaldeans. It's up to you to tell me. Oh, and by the way, if you don't tell me, I'm going to cut you to pieces. And I'm going to make your house a dunghill. Now, if you put yourself in the shoes of one of those wise men and saying, well, how in the world can this be? I don't know what, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what his dream was. And they even told him that. They said, no, we can't tell you that. There's nobody here. There's nobody on this earth. There's no gods that can tell you that. Tell us what your dream is. And he said, no. Now, that being said, as I was reading, there were some people said that they're thinking that, well, maybe he really did know what his dream was and wanted to see if these magicians and astrologers and Chaldeans were for real. Is this a gift that they really had that they can tell me and foretell the future and tell me what's going on? Scripture doesn't tell us that. But there's some speculation to that, only because later on he says it was a secret thing. Now, it was a secret thing that it was something that he didn't know and didn't want to say, or was it something he knew and he didn't want anybody to know? It doesn't matter. He's asking his wise men and he's asking soothsayers, tell me what my dream was. Well, the wise men, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the magicians could not do it. So he issued a decree to go out and to kill all these men. Daniel, who after he was interrogated by the king, became one of his wise men. Because of the knowledge, all three of them, four of them. And when he gets wind of this and he hears, hey, the king's going to be killing all the wise men, Daniel goes to the captain. I think his name is Arconian. Arioch, I'm sorry. And tells him, this is the man that was given the marching orders to go kill the wise men, to go kill all the magicians. And he goes to him and he says, hey, what's this I hear that the king, why is he so hasty in killing all the wise men? And no doubt it was because of his rage and because of his anger. And Daniel says, give me a few minutes. Give me a little bit of time. Go and tell the king to just give me a little bit of time. He goes, and I will reveal that to you. Daniel then goes back to his house and gets together with his companions. And what do? They pray. And they ask God, Lord, would you please reveal to us this secret thing? Because this king wants to kill us. He says that they would desire mercies of God from heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. This is verse 19. And then if we go on and we see that that night God revealed unto Daniel the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. That secret dream. And from 21 to 23 in chapter 2, Daniel offers a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude that he has made known unto him the desires and that he was going to reveal that to the king. And that brings us to to verse 24 in chapter 2. So that's where we're going to start from. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show you the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot these wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he revealeth secrets, make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mayest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, this great image whose brightness was excellent and stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, and the breast of his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then this iron and clay and brass and silver and gold broke to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing's floor. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote that image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell you the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, the part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Daniel. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. And we're going to go on to chapter 3, a few more verses. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set upon it in the plain of Dura of the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes of governors and captains and judges and treasurers and councils, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And I'm going to stop right there. I know there was a lot of reading. You know, I find it interesting here that as the king is not able to sleep, and God reveals unto the king the future of what's going to happen, what's going to come to pass. Here's a man of authority, great power. He was a great king. Scripture tells us that. And I know a lot of times that when we, you know, if we have a dream and there's something that really, you know, we're no different than the king. If there's something that is terrible in our dream, we kind of toss and turn all night and maybe can't go back to sleep because of this dream. But the way God orchestrated Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego, giving them wisdom and understanding. And as he goes to the king and says, look, I'm going to tell you what your dream is. Not only will I tell you what your dream is I'm going to interpret what the dream is for you. And as he goes on, and I'm not going to get into the interpretations of it, there's a lot of prophecy here in this dream, and we'll leave that for another time. But Daniel goes ahead and he tells the king what this dream is. Now you find it interesting, at least I find it interesting, that here's a man that can tell you what your dream is before you even tell anybody what it is, and that he says that it's not me, but it's God that's doing it. Nowhere do we see in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar, and this is not the first encounter that he had, that Daniel was telling him that there's a God out there that's going to tell you and show you these things, that he actually converted, or he actually repented, or said, hey, show me, or I want to know this God. But like I said, selective hearing. When we went into chapter 3, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar makes this big image. Now, wait a minute. King Nebuchadnezzar, if you heard what your dream was, yes, you're the head. You're gold. You're the one that has the power. You're the one that has the authority. And it's like that's all he heard. He didn't hear about anything else. He didn't hear that there's going to be a stone that's going to come down and is going to crush your toes, and this whole image is going to fall down and break into pieces. And then to go out and to make this image that Scripture tells us 60 cubits tall, 98.4 feet, and then about 9 feet wide. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm reading this, what are you doing? Did you not just hear, did you not understand what is going to happen here? God revealed to you this dream of what's going to happen. Your kingdom is going to fall. And not only yours, but there's going to be a second, and there's going to be a third, and there's going to be a fourth. And that's kind of what got me as I was listening to this, as I was reading this and thinking, do I have selective hearing? When God speaks to me, do I listen to everything that he says from beginning to end? Or do I just take the good and just kind of push away the bad? You know, sometimes we find ourselves thinking, well, you know, to have selective hearing, either we have a lot of pride and we don't want to deal with it. We know better. It's not going to happen. Perhaps there's bitterness in our lives and we don't want to hear what God has to tell us because we're already frustrated. I'll give you an example. Selective hearing. I'm not in sales. I'm on the service side. But I have customers that come over and say, hey, David, I want to buy a car. You know, can you help me with buying a car? Sure. Well, what kind of price can you give me? I said, I'll give you the best price you can. I said, I'll give you 50% off, twice the price. What did you just hear? That you're going to get 50% off. You're not thinking about twice the price. That means you're not getting a discount at all. There's no discount there. It's 50% off, twice the price. But you don't know how many people stop right at 50% off. They don't hear the rest. This is the way Daniel was. He had this image that he says, oh yes, because you're this gold head. You're this man of authority and power. But what's going to happen to your kingdom? And what are you going to do about it? You know, Matthew 8, 5:22 talks about the sower and the seed. And Christ goes on and talks about the sower, went out to sow. By the way, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down. Some fell upon a rock and it sprung up and withered away. Some fell among thorns and it choked it. Some fell on good ground and sprung up and bare 150 and 100 fold. But he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When we're listening and reading God's word, do we have the ears to hear everything that he's telling us? Sometimes we ignore good advice because we don't want to hear it. Fear, pride. Perhaps we're distracted. Worries, cares, and concerns of this life. And the worries can distract us from hearing God speaking to us. You know, James 1:22 tells us to be doers and not hearers only. Because we can hear, but if we don't do it, we are deceiving ourselves. Selective hearing. Where is your mind right now? Where is my mind? Do we have areas that are off limits? Perhaps that we don't want to think about or we don't want to talk to God about? Is there times when God is speaking to us and we only want to hear the good and not the bad? You know, Jesus is talking to us. He's talking to you and to me. The question is, how well am I and how well are you listening? And is your selective hearing limiting your walk with God? Don't just listen to him concerning the areas that satisfy your desires for fulfillment. Give Jesus the leadership of your whole life, not just in part. And we know the rest of the story as this image was set up and they made a decree and said, hey, we want everybody to bow to this image. And it was expounded upon a little bit last weekend that Daniel and his companion says, we're not going to. And the king was in such fury and rage that he gets this furnace burning and makes it 7 times more, to the point where the ones that threw Daniel and his companions into the fire, they're the ones that died. They're the ones that burn because it was so hot. And as we continue in reading chapter 3 at the end, and we see that not a hair on their head was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. And again, Nebuchadnezzar says, makes this decree that every people and language shall speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made into dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. But it doesn't tell us that he made the God of Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego his God. So it was just something as I was reading and as the Lord laid on my heart that as he speaks to us, that we should listen to everything he has to say and not just be selective of what we want to hear from him. May God bless his word.